Welcome, everybody, to another amazing episode of the XSF podcast. You got me, your host, Devontae. We got host Lou. Say what up to him, Lou.
What's happening?
There we go. A little bit of excitement this week. Well. Cool. I like it. And it's well due because this week we talked about the shoulder. We went into in depth into shoulder mobility, shoulder stability, and shoulder strength, right? How we can train upon those three things there. And we broke it down from the joints of the shoulder, the muscles of the rotator cuff, because the rotator cuff is not just one muscle, and a bunch of other good nuggets. Even broke down exercises that you all can start utilizing today to improve shoulder mobility, stability, and strength. Before we hop into it, let's give a shout out to our sponsors. Hey, thank you, Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop. Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop is a Minnesota-owned and operated business here in Golden Valley, Minnesota. They got decks, shoes, everything you need to get some clips and also be looking fly. Also, make sure you check out Monte Coso Skateboards, another Minnesota-owned and operated business. They're always giving back to the skate community, and they really make some amazing boards. They're durable. Trust me. I've jumped down some stairs. They don't break. Go ahead, Lou. Let them know what's up.
We got Jetty Woodworking Company out of Long Beach, New York. It's a woodworking company with locally sourced woods, veteran-owned and operating. That's J-E-T-T-Y Woodwork on Instagram. We got Batch Roasting Co., which is phenomenal people making phenomenal coffee out of Brooklyn, New York, ethically sourced and operated. That's Batch Roasting Co. on Instagram. And at checkout, L-Bomb for 15% off your discount. L-B-O-M-B.
And I forgot to always, like I usually do, say that, hey, also over at Monte Coso, make sure you let them know XSF sent you, and they will also be giving you 10% off. Other than that, hey, go get you some ear loving. Hope you all enjoy.
That's amazing, though.
I know.
That's absolutely amazing that we brought that up.
I'm telling you, big move.
That's universal stuff right there.
Yes, it is.
Yes, you know what I mean? For the fact, like, your friend could have been a carpenter,
anything,
but
yeah.
But to have the electrical,
that's beautiful. Things are meant to be, man.
That's getting mobile, right? That's gonna get me mobile out of here. Mm-hmm. Then yep. Give me some stability.
Stability.
So once I'm stable over there, we can build the strength.
Strength.
Just like we like to do in the gym.
Dang.
Mobility, stability, and strength, family.
Speaking of mobility, stability, and strength, let's get into that. Let's get into that shoulder talk.
Some shoulder, like we said last week, because of your little injury.
Yeah, so I guess I'll give a little bit of an update.
Let's give a recap of the injury.
So injury, grade 2 sprain of the AC joint. We're going to go over the joints of the shoulder here in just
AC
a moment.
Joint.
So it was a grade 2 sprain. Like I said last episode, they scale these on a 1 to 5 number scale. 1 to 2 being those sprains. And then when you get into 3 to 5 range, that's when you're actually looking at tears. So I was lucky on that end of things. And then I actually went and got an MRI just to make sure that everything was right, because I was still super inflamed even 3 weeks after the initial fall. After that MRI, I found out that it was actually a partial labrum tear. So that wasn't anything too crazy. It was just pretty much more so from wear and tear, years of skating, falling, putting my arms out like this, putting my arms behind me like this, all that. And then also that one fall where I landed and my scap and everything kind of went up, and it just wasn't able to do what it needed to do. And it just has a slight little tear in it. Nothing that's going to cause me to have to get surgery, nothing like that. Do a little bit of physical therapy, the stuff we're going to talk about here in today's episode, actually. And I'll be good to go. I'm actually got cleared to skate again. I just skated yesterday for the first time since I went to the doctor last week. So it was about like a week or so from skating. And then, I'm pretty much good to go. I mean, obviously, not going to go trying to put an overhead press of, you know, some crazy weight over my head right now. There's no point. But, you know, I'm definitely going to do my due diligence from here on out and, you know, dive more into what we're actually about to talk about here in the episode. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you want to just go put some heavy weight over your head now that you feel you're okay? Why wouldn't you just want to go just do that? Because a lot of people, like I notice when you go into gyms and stuff, mm-hmm. all the stuff we've learned about being mobile, stable, and then strength, it's like you just see people walking to the gym, you know, couple of these, move the arms around, and then just go lift heavy weights and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think it's just a connection of the dots. I mean, shout out to Prescript, right? I mean, they helped us connect some more dots in our life. If you guys are coaches, definitely go check them out. If you're an athlete, go check them out. You can learn a lot about your body, and it's crazy. You're going to learn some stuff. But, you know, I was saying, like, I think it's just connecting the dots. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just, they simply just don't know. I think those people you see, it's not like they're listening to Prescript and then going into the gym and doing that. I don't think there's many people out there that do that, or even listening to us and then going into the gym and doing that. They're more so.
So let's teach them.
Exactly. So let's go into it, right? So why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to go put the weight over my head, right? Like you asked. Well, first, I haven't. So, I mean, like I said, I think the reason this injury really occurred was due to me being so hyper-focused on my ankle, right? I had my ankle surgery. So then I was actually really neglecting a lot of the upper body training that I should have been still focusing on, especially since I wasn't on my board for almost 8 months. I knew I was going to be falling. What happens when you fall, Lou? You put your hands out, right?
Brace yourself.
Yeah, you brace yourself. What's going on there? I mean, your shoulders, your wrist, all that right there. That's what's taking that impact in, right? Of course, yes, you get lucky. Sometimes you get those runouts where it's more like a cartwheel, but I know we've all fallen on our butts where your hand just goes down and just, boom, jams into the ground. So, you know, I didn't really think of that. I was too focused on the ankle. Not saying I wasn't doing the upper body stuff, but it was more so I was doing the bare necessities, right? So, and I was also skipping steps just because I was focused on other things, right? And we'll go more into that here in a second when we get like into the mobility and stability side of things and how to look at it more. But I mean, that's why, right? I'm not going to have the mobility there. I know for a fact I'm not. So I already can feel it. I barely can do the passing test of when you bring your arm up, the shoulder elevation with the external rotation, making sure that the hands actually together. And we'll go more. I think, you know what we'll do? We'll post
it right now.
You want to talk about the
mobility right now? Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about it, right? So, like,
yeah, go ahead.
You want to be mobile with the shoulder. Like, you just brought up the perfect example of the shoulder test, trying to bring your shoulder through flexion with
external rotation, with keeping the fingers together. Yep.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just the shoulder, because that's the thing is we're going to misconstrue here, is the shoulder isn't just this, right?
Since the
humerus goes into the scap, which connects to the spine. So what you really need first is to make sure you got mobility of your thoracic spine, right?
Mm-hmm. So let's break down the joints really fast, because I think a lot of people, you know, think of the shoulder joint, like it's just the shoulder joint, like as it's one joint.
I think a lot of people just think about the shoulder, period. You don't even think
period.
Of joints.
Let's
talk about the joints first. What are the joints of the shoulder?
So you got the glenohumeral joint, right? Do you want to point to them while I'm like talking about them and stuff?
Oh, jeez, you got to do that to me?
No, you get it.
Glenohumeral joint, right up here.
It's that ball and socket joint. The ball and socket.
So you
think of that ball and socket. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not, then go check the show notes. You can go check us out. But that ball and socket. And then you have what I injured, your acromioclavicular joint, right? So that's the AC joint. That's actually where you're going to be set. So let's go over something really quick, right? Difference. The glenohumeral joint is where dislocation is going to happen, right? So you hear that somebody dislocated their shoulder, that's at that glenohumeral joint, right? Now, if you hear a shoulder separation, that's where I was heading in my injury. That happens at the AC joint. So right there, just so we clarify, it's that little notch right there kind of at the end of your shoulder. You can feel it.
It's the most lateral part of your scap meeting the clavicle.
There we go. Which
is over here. If you're watching, it's over here, which you just point by your shoulder. It's the furthest part from your neck that's not on like the very outside of your arm, like right before that. Like when everyone works
right
at the
end
delts,
of that clavicle.
Right around there.
Yeah, you'll find it right at the end of your clavicle.
The end of the clavicle and the end of the scap meeting.
Mm-hmm. And then from there,
relationship.
Going inward, I guess we'll talk about then you have the sternoclavicular joint, right? This joint does not want to move. It's very structurally stable, right? If something happens to this joint, I mean,
you might die.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, it's probably not going to be too good for you. You know, I mean, you have a lot of stuff here, and it's like, let's not do that.
Very structurally stable.
Yes, and then from there you have the
scapulothoracic
joint, right? Yeah. So now that we've went over the four joints, just so you understand, right?
Wait, hold on. This capitothoracic joint is where the scap meets the spine.
Thank you. Thank you. I was all jumping around. Thank you. Thank you for slowing me down. Okay, now that we've broke that down, right, and there's a little bit better understanding that, hey, the shoulder is multiple joints, and there's different things that are kind of needed, right, for certain sections of the shoulder, right? And I think what we're going to do now, like Louie was talking about earlier, is hop into the mobility side of things, right? Mm. Where do you want to start there, Lou?
Well, the mobility of the T-spine, you know, because you could be only going to be so mobile with your shoulders as mobile as you are with your T-spine, if that made sense. Yes. Like the mobility of your T-spine is going to dictate the mobility of your shoulders. Like if you don't have mobility of the T-spine, it's rare that you're going to have mobility of the shoulders. So you want to be mobile of your, and by T-spine, I mean thoracic spine. Because there's
now why would that be? Just so they understand, because like, why does that contribute to shoulder mobility?
Because the scapula meets the thoracic spine. They're a joint. They joint together. So if your spine moving, just your like scap's moving, and vice versa. You know, that's what are those relationships? When things like work together like that, whatever.
Correlations?
Something like that. Yeah. But they go together. So if I'm moving my scap like this, I need mobility of my spine. Mm-hmm. And the reason, now if you're watching, the reason a lot of people will fail this test here is because they don't have the mobility. So let's start start flaring
now, think
their
of
ribs,
this, right? The overhead press. Motion. What's a common thing you see in the overhead press? That flaring of the chest and the arching of the lower back. And then they're like, I have shearing lower back pain. It's like, well,
because you don't have mobility of that thoracic spine.
Exactly.
So we'd want to work on that first.
Mm-hmm. Now, should we just go over one of my favorite.
Some examples?
Yeah, sure. So one of my favorites, right? And the reason why I like this one, if you have a foam roller, use a foam roller between your knees. But actually the lying, like the side lying T-spine rotations, right? And I like this because it really makes you focus on squeezing. So what you do is you lay on the ground on your side, right? Arms straight out in front of you, right at chest level or shoulder level. One hand on the ground, one hand laying on top of the other hand. And then you'd have the hips flexed up and the knees then bent like you're sitting in a chair almost, but you're lying on your side, trying to keep that spine in a straight line. And then from there, you're squeezing that foam roller down as you rotate open and get rotation from that thoracic spine. The reason why I like this is it helps you work on pelvic control also while you're going through that mobility as well.
Beautiful.
So then when it comes to like working on rotation stuff, or even for me in skating, right, there's times where I want to rotate slightly in my upper body and I don't want my lower body to move because I'm trying to stay locked into a trick. And I've noticed that that has seemed to help me, you know, just learning pelvic control better. So that's one of my favorite ones right there is the side lying T-spine rotations with the foam roller in between the knees.
That's a great one. And don't forget the foam roller in between, you want to squeeze foam roller between.
You
want to
squeeze it.
That's going to keep the pelvis stable.
The pelvic control, exactly. Yeah. And then if you don't have a foam roller, I mean, you could use like a pillow at home or something, but the reason why the foam roller is nice is it's just has that firmer surface and stuff and gives you that space because, right, when you think about lying on your side, when one knee is laying on the other one, your hips actually aren't quite in line, right? So it's kind of off-center. That's why we want to kind of lift that other knee up and get everything nice, straight, and centered.
Mm-hmm. One that I really enjoy is a thread the needle. So you're on your quadruped position or hands and knees, and you're going to slide. Let's say you're going to slide your right hand in between your left hand and your left knee, rotating that spine. And I like to do this for breaths. You know, like when you want to get mobile, I like to go for breaths.
Thank you for bringing that up because that's a huge key thing, right?
Breaths is functional. Like, what is functioning? Mm-hmm. How our body operates when we walk and breathe. So, breathing is functional. So, when you're getting mobile, you want to be functional about it. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to take a nice inhale, push that hand through. Then, as I come out, I'm going to give a nice exhale.
Yep.
That's how I go about that right there. Mm-hmm. Or you could even get into it where you push your hand through. Take your breaths there while maintaining that position with your hand through.
Yeah, and I would suggest
when you do
even
your,
starting
oh, I'm
there.
Sorry, before I forget, when you do your thread the needles, like you were saying with the pelvis, you want to do your best not to be moving your pelvis. Because you're trying to mobilize
lot, right?
your thoracic spine. Yeah, not
yeah,
the lumbar.
Not the lumbar. The lumbar.
The lumbar,
spine.
We
want to
be chilling.
Yeah,
not structurally
that
stable.
Don't move
want to
move too much.
Thoracic spine, we want to be nice and mobile. So try to keep your hips stable as possible. So having someone cueing you or coaching you, or using like a mirror for external means.
Film that yourself. Usually helps with that. Like even if film you yourself, don't post this stuff, just film it. Like yeah. It's like
foam roller on the low, not foam roller, but like a yoga block on the lower back. That thing moves a lot. You know, you're moving your lumbar spine a lot. You
there
don't you want go. That.
There, feedback's amazing. I love feedback stuff like that, where it's like, hey, if you don't have somebody with you, then you got it.
Feedback is great.
So no, now, what do you want? I love that. No, I love that we went there. So
scapular strength and stability, I'm thinking.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that, right? So there's kind of like those five components. We just went over that one. You're talking about the thoracic mobility. Now we gotta talk about that scapular strength and mobility too. So when it comes to scapular mobility, right?
I would say scapular strength, stability. Like, so, you want to be mobile, your scap being able to go through all the ranges of motion, elevation, depression, abduction, protraction, you know?
Now, the reason why I brought the mobility up was just because when it comes to, whenever I think of doing a movement where I'm going to be focused on keeping that scap depressed and in position, or maybe I'm letting it go through its range of motion, right? Whatever the case may be, I like to do those thread the needles as well. Just because when you're breathing, right? Now, if you're a chest breather, and you feel like you breathe into your chest, you won't feel this as much. You want to try to get a big diaphragmatic breath when you're doing it, because you're going to feel that around the scap, you come and breathe into that thoracic spine. And I've found that it just helps me get into a better position when it comes to getting into like an overhead position, especially if I'm doing like a lat pull down or something like that sort.
Definitely.
Now for stability, where would you start, would you say, for building stability of the scap? Because a lot of people would think, okay, well, why, you know, maybe if you know a little bit, you're thinking, okay, I could grab a dumbbell and do, you know, dumbbell overhead presses, and that's a little bit more unstable than a barbell. But, you know, where would you have somebody start when it comes to building strength?
I would see if they could do a kettlebell windmill.
Yes.
If they can't, right? Yeah. If they can't do a kettlebell windmill, I mean, you can go right down to push-ups. See how stable they can keep their scap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can go into some type of forms of protracting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Really working the serratus, but trying to get the scap to be stable. Yes. So those are the routes I would go with that.
Now, would you, what about like doing like active or resisted scapular depression type movements if they have trouble getting the scap depressed?
I would say that's more of like a scap strengthening, like reverse shrugs, you know, whether that's you getting up on a dip bar and just letting your body drop down and then shoot it back up, not bending your elbows, or regress that down into a bench.
Yes.
You know, that's how I go about that. Or face pulls even.
Face
more
pulls.
Of a scap strengthening movement. So that's how I'd go about it. I'd incorporate those in to get the strength of the scapula. You want to get that thing strong too. You know what I mean? It's not just
that's why it's a stability muscle. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a stabilizer, but it also has the muscles around it, like the rotator cuff muscles that are going to keep it strong to be able to get in positions, to stay in those positions.
Well, you just brought up the rotator cuff muscles, you know. You said muscles. Let's talk about that really fast just because you brought
There's
it up.
Four of them.
Yes.
You want to know what they are?
You want me to say a couple, or you want to do them?
Yeah,
I was like, I'm like a little kid in school. I was like, I'm all excited.
You want to do two? I'll do two.
Yeah, okay. So
I'll throw you one and a half.
Okay. The nub. All right, so you got the infraspinatus. You got the supraspin. Then you got supraspinatus.
Teres minor and subscapularis.
There we go. So... Beautiful. When it comes to that, so I was just gonna say, when it comes to working the rotator cuff, this is where we kind of get more into talking about that external rotational strength, right?
Ooh, well, external rotation mobility.
And then we'd go to strength.
Right, right.
But now that's where we're talking about that, and when we're working on external rotation of the shoulders, I mean, where's the first thought process when it comes to you when it comes to mobility? Because for me, there's a lot of stuff out there where people might think like, oh, well, let me put my hand in a doorway and just do this and like open up my chest more so I have more here. But there's a little bit of a gap there. So I'm curious what you have to say about it.
Well, the first thing I'm going to touch on with that door thing is a lot of people don't realize when you're trying to stretch your pec like that, the best bet would be put yourself in the corner where there's a wall in front of you and stretch, because our body, our brain will, if we don't have something in front of us, our brain will be more concerned about us falling over than stretching the muscle. Yep, so you won't be stretching your muscle like you actually think you are. There's a difference between sensation and stimulation, you know what I mean? So you could feel like you're stretching your pec, but you're not, really. Your brain's not letting that happen because it's thinking about not falling forward. So that's one. Two, I would do that. I would inhibit the internal rotators, which could be your lat, could be the pec, you know? So I'll do like a lat PNF. I would do some pec stretching, whether it's in the corner, doorway stretch. That's how I'd go about that to get the mobility of the external rotation of the shoulder.
If you hear these movements and stuff and you want us to do some more videos on our XSF podcast Instagram page, let us know, because we easily could throw up some of these movements on there and relate them back to this episode so you know, hey, okay, I can go from here to here and see that too. But no, I love that. The lat PNF, I was just going to say that one too. I've noticed with clients and with myself, that's helped a lot when it comes to just being stable in an overhead position, right? And feeling better there. And it definitely has its part to play. So I love
Us humans bias internal rotation. You know, it's that typical upper cross syndrome, the head juts forward, the shoulders. It's what I call the schlep look. Like if you're watching, it's the schlep. Look at that. Look at the sweat. Anyway, it's the schlep walk. You want to get that schlep walk out of the way first.
Yes. Yeah. No, totally agree. And then that's the thing too, because then it's like, okay, well now you have that. It's like, well, what else can you do? Well, now it's like, okay, let's go into the strength of your external rotation. And this is like where I love to do like with the 2 pound plates and stuff like that, like doing external rotation with that. If you don't have, you know, cables and all that stuff at your house, I know it's a little bit easier to access some, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing about that is the line of pull and direction of gravity. So now if I'm using a 2 pound plate, right now the line of pull just wants to come down.
Go down.
Mm-hmm. If I'm going this way, it wants to go down. But we're trying to work the external rotation.
I was just
going to
say
mean?
What you can do is use a band. Yeah, a band would work really well. Bands are even easier to find than plates. So I would definitely band. The only thing about a band that I do not like compared to like a cable, of course, is that resistance profile, right? So if you don't know this, think about a rubber band. When you're stretching this band out, at the further you have it stretched out, the harder that tension is at that point, right? So if you're doing that movement where you're doing that single arm face pull and then you're going to external rotation, when you get here and you go to go up and you go to pull that band back even farther, that's when it's going to be tight. So make sure you don't go choosing a band where it's already so hard to get here. You got to be cognizant of that when it comes to the band. As of where like a cable, you would be able to have that same resistance profile all the way through. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent point.
Now, also another one I love with those same modalities, right, with the resistance band or cable, would be doing the side external rotations as well, right? Because now we're here and we're working it from here. Well, let's strengthen this side of things, right? And that's where I think I didn't do enough, right? That's like, I know I was always focused on the other way, and I was like, wait, no, I totally neglected doing it from down by my side, right? That's another one I would do right there. Now, when it comes to these movements, right, I think an important thing to talk about is reps, right? Now, this isn't something you need to be trying to like load the plate stack up if you're doing it on a cable machine. This isn't, like I said, this the thing you need to be doing with the heaviest band in your arsenal, right? It's something that we want to be connecting to and really feeling what we're doing, because it's very, very easy to be trying to do these movements and start to use other muscles to help you and assist you through the motion, right? And that's where we don't want to get to, because then it's like, well, we're kind of negating what you're really trying to work on right now. So
definitely a higher rep count, you know, 12 to 20.
12 to 20,
And you want quality, like anything though, you want quality reps.
Even if you're doing lower reps with heavy weight.
No matter what, when you work out, you want quality reps. All right. You do your best to get quality reps. It's not like every rep's not gonna be the best rep. But if you worked out with the intention of trying to make every rep the best rep, not only are you gonna burn more calories and get more of in the workout, but you're just gonna have a better carryover to you, what you're trying to do.
Exactly.
So great point with that. Cause a lot of people you see them, looking around, hey, don't over there, the whole spiel, like, what are you doing?
Another thing, like how you did that, right? Another thing I want to bring up is when you're working on these movements, a big thing to remember is what your chest is doing, right? Is your chest coming up. Like, right, you'll see that a lot too. People, even when you're doing rows, like they'll really be here and it's like, yeah, you can get a little bit of thoracic extension, right? But then where does that go? Into the lumbar spine, and you let it go too far and you don't have that kind of control there. So just be very, very cognizant of, oh, am I keeping my ribs and chest down? Am I breathing through the diaphragm? I mean, all that stuff, just pay attention to it. It feels really weird too if you're not used to it. Like it might feel like you're almost hunched over, but just know, like, hey, no, it's, I'm just literally keeping my chest and my ribs down.
And if you do find that your chest continues to flare when you're not trying to make it flare, then you know you need more thoracic mobility, like we stated earlier.
So connect those dots. Exactly.
Connecting them dots, making movies over here.
I mean, shoot, what else do you want to say? I mean, that was...
Well, we could talk about the more superficial muscles of the shoulder. You know, you got your delts, your traps. Lats. Lats. You know what I mean?
And
so the muscles everyone typically knows about, but doesn't really consider them shoulder. Like how many people, like when you're talking about shoulder, like think about the lat.
The lat, right? And it's like, you know? Okay.
So they're not. Not many people are, at least, you know what I mean?
So now, why would that, why would that be?
I think it's just a general idea. Like, you know, the typical, I'm going to train back, I'm going to train shoulders, I'm going to train chest, I'm going to train. People think like the body doesn't work together.
But I'm going to train lats for lats.
Yeah, I think that's breaking though, because of our conversations, because of Prescript and other people in the biomechanics game. You know what I mean? Doing phenomenal things, bring great knowledge to the human body. You know, because what the lat is doing is an extender of the shoulder. It adducts the shoulder and internally rotates the shoulder. So it'll extend, it'll internally rotate, and it'll adduct. You know what I mean? The shoulder. So if you want, that's why you might want to stretch the lat out if you're not having too much mobility of the shoulder. Because it's highly involved, right? You know?
One of the ways I like to emphasize that too is, you know, like when people are doing like almost like a modified child's pose and it's like for the lat, right? And it's like, you'll see it more. So it's like this, but their shoulders are very internally rotated, right? One thing I always try to point out is, hey, first thing first, externally rotate those shoulders and tell me how much more you feel it in your lat. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then if they're like, okay, well, what else? It's like, okay, well, now instead of being here, bring those elbows down to the ground and try to externally rotate your hands. So you're externally rotating those shoulders at the same time. Tell me where you feel it. You feel it in your lat. You're going to completely feel it in your lat. So that's another thing I love to do. A little tip right there. But
that's phenomenal.
No, yeah. And then, I'm trying to, I don't know.
Traps?
Traps, yeah. Going to traps. So,
Your upper traps, bilaterally meaning together. Both of them together will extend your neck. Unilaterally, meaning separately, like one only the left side or only the right side will laterally flex. It'll rotate and it'll elevate. All right? Mid traps, your mid traps will adduct the scap and stabilize the scap. Your low traps will depress the scap and upwardly rotate the scapula. So if you're not working these muscles, you know, you're not, your scapula can only do so much, which means, means then your shoulder muscles can, like, so if you're going to the gym trying to be, you know, big and jacked, your shoulders, you're going to hit a ceiling. Your shoulders are only going to get so big because you're not working on the mobility of your thoracic spine, the stability of your scapula, the function and actions of the muscles that revolve around the scapula and the thoracic spine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because then it's like you're at a limitation then at your of your own function.
Exactly.
Let's improve that.
And then lastly, we got the typical shoulder muscles, the delts.
Delts.
Which are anterior fibers will flex, medially rotate, and horizontally adduct the shoulder.
The posterior, can't go over this real quick, just so people don't know. Adduction. What does that mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Adduction is bringing together. So horizontal adduction. Okay, if I'm trying to give you a nice hug, I'm horizontally adducting. If I'm trying to go, what, and back up off that hug, I'm adducting.
Abduction.
I'm horizontal abducting. Abduction.
Abduction. Do you ever call it that? Do you ever say abduction?
Yeah, because it's just easier. Abduction, adduction. Yeah. Like, especially if you're talking to someone, especially where I talk to
I always, I was just wondering, because I always clarify too when I'm saying it to somebody, I never say like abduction or adduction. I'm always like abduction.
They're like, what, and also like, help. It also helped when I was learning too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
You're like, I, like when I felt like, oh my god,
the little Barney plays, bro. Yeah, those little Barney plays you got to use.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking at like they're so similar. How am I gonna remember this?
Oh shit, that's too funny.
But then, lastly, the posterior fibers of the delts will extend and laterally rotate and horizontally abduct scalp. Boom. Or shoulder.
Bro, my mic is giving me so many issues right now. You see me? It just keeps moving around. No, I love that. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, we can talk about all the other things, but like Lou just said a little bit ago, if we're not addressing all this other stuff, right, the body is a whole and it's going to work as a whole. And now you see why, right? We've gave you some examples. We've explained the muscles, the joints, what kind of goes into shoulder health and mobility, stability, and strength. And I mean, Lou, is there anything else you want to kind of dive into? I just know I got to get going in a little bit to go pick up Arlo from school.
No, I think we covered, and then you got like your terrace major that's basically a mini lat.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Your terrace major basically does everything a lat does. So
serratus anterior, we forgot about.
You know, I was going to bring that up, but like the serratus is such a gangster muscle. It's the puncher's muscle. It's the protraction. Yeah,
boom, boom.
Do you ever watch bodybuilders and shit and they got those like feathers on the side? That's your serratus. That's a protractor. Whether you're, it's like when everything's like a push up.
I just didn't want to leave it out. So like somebody was trying to like, hey, bro, you left this out. It's like, nope, it's there.
They can come check a DM privately. All right. You can come check a DM privately. You want to break chops.
What's up?
And then above head. You know, it's what's a really good workout, actually, you take like a dumbbell or a kettlebell, right? You put it above your head and then you extra.
Yes. Yeah.
Pronation.
Yes.
You're going to work your serratus nice like that, which is like the kettlebell bottoms under press. Mm-hmm. And then, it protracts. It does some other things right now that are slipping my mind. Because the serratus is a gangster muscle that goes around your ribs. So it actually has a lot to do with rib function also. That's why it affects the scap because it's right there. It's on the scap.
There's
a posterior. Well, there's a posterior. Oh, in that sense, yeah.
Yeah,
I believe so because it's on the posterior to the lateral side. Yeah, there's the anterior compression. It literally all. Yeah, I can't even get my arm all the way back there. All the way back here.
Yeah. Yep. No, I
but
think that
getting
was,
into that part is deep when you talk about.
Yeah, I was
going to
say we
got it, dude. That's
I want to get some. We'll
talking
get
a skateboard
on
a general pub here right now.
Yeah. We'll get somebody on to go more in depth about that too because.
We could always do it.
No, I just love to. No, I just love to get a little guest on or something.
Oh, for sure, you're right. We will.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, before we forget, we got to give a little shout out to ourselves, man. Hey, if you're out there listening and you want to support us, it's as easy as just sharing it to your Instagram story. Share it with a homie if you're liking what we're putting out there, because it really does help. Every little share helps, brings people in. Get them to listen to what we got to say. And usually people jive with us because we just cool cats over here at the XSF podcast. That's how we do it.
For sure, you're right.
And I know our listeners are cool too. We also just don't say it that much. It's kind of just like something we don't bring up.
We appreciate all of you.
We appreciate all of you. And also, if you can, hit that Apple podcast. Do a review on there. If you're on Spotify, download the episode because those are things that really do help us grow here at the XSF podcast. Me and Lou got a lot of things we're trying to get in the works here. And you know, the more support we get, the easier things seem to become. So
people helping people help us help you, baby.
Boom. Hey, and like we always like to say, everyone is capable of being extreme.